three sides on, you know, by open space on three sides. It's rectangular in nature. It does have a existing house and barns that we've, as we've discussed. The existing house is close to the center of the existing property. What we're proposing is to subdivide it into 2 3-acre lots. It is in the R 90s. I'm reading a small print of the survey. Both lots would be 3 acres in size. We are asking for the variances regarding the barn, as well as a lot frontage and lot width variance, where we're proposing 200 feet and 250 is required. The reason for that is so that we don't, if we divided the lot in half, we'd basically be running right through the middle of the existing house, which is the reason for the lot frontage and lot width variance.
Can I just interrupt for a minute, Mr. Lord or Mr. Pape? Are you able to put up, or do we need to give you permission to put up a plan so that we can follow this? We did have plans distributed, but it might be easier to walk us through the testimony with something on the screen.
Yeah. I'm able to, or Mr. Lord, you can, or
I want to proceed. You can, if you can do that, that would be great.
I can do that. Is that okay if I share my screen?
Yeah, fine by us.
Okay, just give me one moment.
The lot frontage is 215 feet. I think I heard you say 200.
Well, it looks like
215. I may have said it is 215 versus 215.
That's what, just for the record. Yeah, it's in my report.
I think the host needs to grant me access. I got a pop-up that says host disabled participant screen sharing.
Linda, I think you're the host.
Yep, that's me. I'm working on it now.
Okay, thanks.
That fencing is encroaching all over our open space.
Yes,
notice that, don't you?
We do notice that, and we
on the left, on the right, in the front.
Right. The there's a note on the plan that says the applicant has also indicated that the fencing would be relocated on, you know, back onto their own property in accordance with the any township ordinances.
Thanks, Jared.
Is it visible, the plan?
Yeah, success.
All right.
Okay, that's always a tricky question. Did I actually show it? I'm with you.
So as you can see, looking at the screen, the lot on the right is the one with the 215-foot frontage. The lot on the left would the existing house would remain in that area. And we've also located it so that we don't impact the driveway to the existing house, as well as meeting the existing house would meet the setbacks for the lot.
Mr. Lord, can I just ask you a question at this point? I think it's appropriate.
Sure.
On your map, on the lot, we'll call to the left side, new lot 30.01, it's showing a 75-foot front yard setback, minimum setback. And in the map that I got originally, and I'm seeing on this map, it's showing the 75-foot setback, but there was a prior map that was showing it at 50 feet. You're not asking for a 50-foot front setback here.
That is correct. We're not asking for a 50-foot front. Right. This is a revised plan.
Great. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. That's the plan. It's the two lots are 3 acres in size. Again, the fences are to be relocated onto the existing property. It's the area is very, it's large lots, farmland. The lots are in keeping with the area. If you look at the subdivision behind it, there are a lot of lots, they're basically rectangular, but they're also somewhat oddly shaped. So I believe that the new lots would not impact the zoning ordinances or the intent of the zoning ordinances. And, it is fit in keeping with the general area.
Mr. Lord, I just had a question that Nancy had raised earlier. We see the fence on new lot 30.02 encroaching to the right, but we also see another fence line at the very bottom of the map, yeah, just clipping the corner. Is that your fence?
We on surveys, we don't generally say whose fences they are because unless we know for sure, but I would guess that most of the fences there do belong to the property owner.
So
it would all be relocated.
Okay. So even those that are just trailing off to the bottom left of the map into the open space would come out also.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Where approximately is the, if it's here and I don't see it, I apologize. Where approximately is the current septic and well for the current house?
I believe the septic is in the toward the front of the house. We have not located that yet. We would locate it to should the board approve this, and we would have to locate that as part of the design for the new lot, both the well and the septic, to ensure that it complies with all the health department regulations.
Okay, I'm going a little scattered here, but so Matt, we have this existing lot intersects with the T intersection across the street. Does the subdivision opportunity in front of us give you any concern with regard to the location of the existing driveway, or is that a non-issue?
They're not changing the existing driveway. It's been there. It's going to stay there. The new driveway is going to be a couple hundred feet to the east. So it's also a county highway. So if there's an issue with the new driveway, Monmouth County will raise that problem.
Okay. Good. Good point. Thank you. All right, Mr. Lord, back to you, please.
Okay. I just, if the board has any other questions, yeah, the application is fairly simple, we believe. It is in keeping with the area. I do not believe the front yard variance would be a detriment to the township or the township ordinances or the intent of the township ordinances.
Well, it's not 250 feet.
215.
I said it's not 250 feet.
Correct.
Which is what's required.
Correct.
It is across from Disbro Hill Road.
Correct.
It's close to the entrance to this development, which is here. And it comes out onto the county road. So, it's a pretty busy intersection at that particular area. So, it's going to be, I don't know. I have to think about it.
Is the proposal to put the driveway on Disbro or Perrineville?
No, it would go on Perrineville. It would go towards the, well, as you're looking at the drawing on your screen, it would go to the right of the lot.
Is it the right corner?
Show us exactly where you're talking about with your mouse, maybe? Or
can you show us?
I can't. I don't think I can. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
In that area, yes.
Okay.
Now, wherever it goes, the county planning board engineers have to review and approve it.
Correct.
And have you met with the county or spoken to them yet?
we spoke with them. We contacted them initially, and basically they had no concerns or about it, other than they would need to approve whatever driveway, you know, on the county road. That was really their only concern. They had no concerns about the subdivision itself.
Okay, I might suggest, Matt, that if the board is favorable to this application, you would reach out for the county to just let them know, as you just heard from the board, that while we understand it's a county road, that the board has concerns that this is a somewhat busy little part of the neighborhood with a driveway, a T-intersection, and then the western leg of Hampton Hollow a little to the right. So we want to make sure that...
It is a condition of the approval, and the last three minor subdivisions that I had on a county road, they've actually been picking on driveways, the locations, and grades, and all sorts of stuff. So they really do look at it.
Okay. I can only see it from the developer's perspective when I'm dealing with Monmouth County, and they do pick apart.
Yeah, they've been very picky.
Okay. You know, can I ask a question? If the driveway is an issue, can they work off the existing driveway and share it somehow?
That will just require cross easements. But again, if the I to be honest with you, I don't think there's any problem with driveway going on that property, to be honest with you. It's a very wide road. It's not like it's a tiny road or anything.
It's a busy road.
And where would you propose the house? I see the barn right there because it's kind of a weird cut. You know what I mean? It comes and crosses. The barn is there. And where would the house be proposed? Towards the back?
No, as I understand, in talking to the applicants, they would put it towards the front within the setbacks, not directly up against the setback, but towards the front of the property, a bit away from the barn.
But it's going to be very close to the other house then, right?
Well, it could be, but you still have a 50-foot side setback on each side. So even if they put it against the sideline, the setback line, it would be 100 feet away from the other house.
Okay, so the existing house is set back from the new property 50 feet, right, away from it?
From the sideline, yes. It's actually 50 feet.
It's very small. I can't even see.
I understand.
59 feet.
Hey, Jared, slide the other way. There's another driveway that's coming out of the greenhouse.
And the left side.
Yeah, whichever way you go.
All the way to the left. Yeah, there's a second driveway here.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Will that remain, and what is it serving?
It is intended to remain. It just serves the greenhouse and that area.
Matt, is that a concern, having a driveway in a side yard setback as a second access?
There is no regulation on a second driveway or location of it. No, it's no issues.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask a question since we're on this property over here. On the other diagram, you have a whole bunch of buildings that are over here right on the property line. What are those buildings?
Which ones are you referring
to? It's not on this, but it's on some of the other diagrams. There are buildings which are located right in this area here, right on the boundary line.
Those aren't buildings. They're pavers and concrete, the apron.
You know, on the existing house?
Yeah, she's talking about behind the house.
They're side by the greenhouse. There's on the aerial photographs and also on the documents that McKinley had provided.
Jared, can you throw up the aerial photograph?
Yeah, there's a small, looks like a shed in the back. There's a house and then a greenhouse.
And Mike, I don't know if we need to mark these as exhibits or not.
Let me see if I can pull these up.
If I have these. If it's a GeoWeb aerial photograph, that's already in.
Okay, yeah, and that's what
Jared,
that's what we're looking for.
All right.
Are those shipping containers adjacent to the greenhouse? Is that what those?
I believe they are just various containers and various farm things, but they're not permanent structures.
To Nancy's point, though, they do appear to be, at least one of the larger ones does appear to be encroaching onto the adjacent open lot.
Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say anything like that would be relocated. Now that we all know where the property lines are, anything that's encroaching would be relocated.
The property line that they show on aerials, they're not 100% correct. They're always off.
I am pulling up this image. It's just taking a moment.
Okay, thank you. But Mr. Lord, regardless, when we see this, if there is a structure overlapping a property line, it would be removed or relocated.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
There we go. Is this the aerial you're referring
yes.
to?
Well, yeah, that's, yes.
Yes.
Oh, so Nancy, you're talking about those structures to the left.
Everything to the left of what that greenhouse is that's over on that side.
Right. It's hard to tell what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mr. Lord, you'll confirm, as you said, that if it's on a property line, it gets moved, relocated, et cetera.
Yes, that is correct. Now that we know where the property lines actually are, so.
Well, if it was a structure, you would have had to locate that, right?
Excuse me?
If it was a structure, you would have had to locate
yes.
it with your
yes.
server.
That is correct. We don't, if it's a, like a storage, you know, a storage
trailer,
we don't locate those because it's not considered permanent.
Can we say if we find the trailers or whatever they are over the property line, can we move them to the property?
Yeah, we can. If there's a trailer there, we'll show them where the property line is and say, move everything.
Move them. That's what the board's looking for.
Right.
Well, this shows the property line on this diagram, and you can see that the field, and obviously you don't see the wires that are on here, but the wires are certainly extended beyond the property boundaries.
Yes, we show them on the survey. Yes, they do.
Right. Mr. Lord, have you received or applied for a wetlands determination from DEP?
We have not yet, no.
Okay, is that your intention to do so?
If the board grants approval, yes, we would do so.
Okay. Okay. Unless there's any other questions for the engineer, I would suggest we turn it over to Matt and McKinley to go through their respective reports and identify anything that we still need to
hear. I think there's one.
Chairman, I just have one question before we go there for Mr. Lord. The Monmouth County Road is shown as a 60-foot right-of-way. Is that a full right-of-way so that you're not going to have to be subjected to losing property for road widening purposes?
I do not believe we would be subjected to that. I mean, ultimately, when we first contacted the county, they didn't mention that. Of course, that would be ultimately up to the county, but if they do, we would request basically an easement for the, rather than a taking, give them an easement.
Right, because if they require a dedication, you're going to run into an area issue.
That's correct, yes.
The plan shows easement already there.
Well, it's a 10-foot utility easement.
Okay, so you have 40, right?
No, it's 30 feet right away, 10 feet utility easement, so adds up to 40.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if they...
The easement's okay. They're not losing the property. If the right. county wants to grab it, then they lose the property and they've got an area issue.
That's so correct.
They're very close in lot area.
They're going to have to come back.
Can we go back to the aerial view for a moment again, please? Can you show with your cursor approximate planned location of the additional driveway in this view?
Mr. Lord, correct me if I have the cursor approximately the right location.
Not in that area, yes.
Okay. So it'll be within that lot, distant from the Disbrow Hill intersection.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's actually a good point, that if we could have a preference, I think you're hearing the board preference is that driveway be as far to the east as possible. I think I had my east and west crossed up a couple sentences ago.
What's going to happen with the existing driveway?
It's to remain. It services the existing house.
When in your 200-foot notice, did you clip that adjacent lot 29?
Let me check.
Okay, just in a quick look, it looks like you wouldn't have gotten any of the other homes in the Hampton Hollow Court community. I'm just curious if your closest neighbor was hit with the notice.
Lot 29 was included.
It was. Okay. All right. Everyone okay to turn it over to our professionals for the next segment?
There's one more variance that they didn't talk about. It's the size of the existing barn. If yes. you subdivide this, under a 3-acre lot, you cannot have more than 1,000 square feet. And this barn is about 1,200, plus or minus.
Yes, that is correct.
Could you show us that barn on the other map? Which one?
That one, right, where the cursor is right now.
Yes. So that, I thought, perhaps incorrectly, that barn... Oh, that stays if they build a house? Is that how it goes?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And your point is that the barn is too large and it stays.
It's too large because of the 3-acre size of the lot.
Can you say that about the greenhouse also? Because the greenhouse looks a lot larger than the barn.
I agree. Well,
how big is the greenhouse?
I would have to, I have to calculate it. I can't tell from the on the screen.
It's definitely over 1200. I guess they built the greenhouse under the Farm Act because this was a farm. That's right. Why it's there. So
are they going to do any farming activities on the property?
I don't know.
Does it look like there's not even enough space to do it? Because the greenhouse, there's a lot of impervious stone there.
Well, on lot. The question really is there currently farming activities done on the property?
Well, I think there may be, but I'm going to tell you, on Perrineville Road, we have some barns that had been left and they should have been taken down. And I don't want to see structures left that are not taken down and then the property is sold at some particular point, and then what we do is we have a mess.
Well, it sounds like, Mr. Lord, we have two questions on the table. One is, what's the size of the greenhouse and how come it's not falling into the same variance situation as the barn? And then we still haven't heard your testimony as to a variance regarding the size of the barn.
Okay. I meant to talk about that earlier, but then we got onto the barn itself. The barn exists at the 1200 square feet. Where we would require 1,000 square feet. It's an existing barn. It's in good condition. Area is being used, for farming, some farm activities, at this time. And the barn would continue to be used in that same condition. And it's just, I say it's an existing structure. We're not, we just feel that it's not encroaching on anything. It's not a significant impact to the area. It is in good condition, and it doesn't make sense to tear part of it down.
Well, and I'm certainly hearing some negative testimony. Is there any positive testimony that you can help us understand?
For the barn to keep the same size.
Yes.
I mean, it's an existing structure that works, right now. I mean, if the board really requires it, we would take it down, or take part of it down to make it the 1,000 square feet. It just doesn't, the existing fences that are around it all work with the barn. It's just it's a matter of a size because of the smaller lot.
Can you see it from the street?
If you're standing there looking at it, yes. If you're driving by, you don't really notice it.
All right. Let's say, for example, you split a 6-acre lot, which gives you the right for farmland assessment, into 2 3-acre lots. So you no longer have the required more than 5 acres in order to have farmland assessment. What does that do for the farming activity? So
I don't think the farming activity itself would change. The taxes would change.
Well, yeah, I still
is,
like to understand.
Intention.
So. I still like to understand what type of farming activity is done presently on the property. Is it a horse farm? Is it a vegetable farm? Is it something else? What is the source of income of farming for this property?
If it's
under farmland assessment, so what is the income?
I would have to check with the applicant on exactly what they do out there. Other than they said they do some agricultural activities.
I think he probably does farming elsewhere, but not on that property.
I mean, I knew that they do grow vegetables out there. On the site, I don't know how much or how many.
There is minimum limitations to be acquired for farmland tax relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the question is, are they compliant to that before we even consider subdividing this into two lots?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like they're farming.
They won't be compliant if it's subdivided. They won't be compliant. They don't meet the farm lot area requirement.
Is a prerequisite to even ruling on this proof of qualification for the current farmland assessment? Is that what we're saying here? Because I think that's what I want to have.
They're not going to comply.
Before we even consider the question going forward, the question, I think, is of substantiation for the current status.
We don't have an answer to that question. Whether it's material to the board's decision-making is up to the board. But it seems to me, and I'm just trying to frame some of the issues, we don't have an answer on the current farming status or what is actually creating the opportunity for it to be a farm. And we don't have an answer on, does the greenhouse require a variance also based on its size? I'm not trying to find problems. I'm just trying to frame issues that we've been talking about.
Well, no, we're stating the obvious. There are some questions about the property before we can consider 2-3-acre subdivisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other question that Matt was digging into a few moments ago, I think, was, will the county require a dedication along the right-of-way, which could infringe upon the lot size and compromise the application? I realize this will be subject to a county approval, but if the county is going to give the project a black eye, we'd like to know about it earlier than later.
Well, two comments on that. First, with regard to the use of this property for farming purposes, the subdivision is based upon the concept that we are creating 2 single-family residential home lots. You're not creating farms. At the subdivision, there is no farming associated with that. If the owners want to farm the property and grow crops and do that, that's fine. But they're not going to qualify for farmland assessment. And they won't qualify as a farm under your ordinance because farms have to be larger than 3 acres.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, buildings on these lots now have to conform to 3-acre lot size, which means the barn and the greenhouse are above and beyond that size limitation.
That's correct. I didn't evaluate as to the greenhouse, but certainly the barn has been called out as a variance that it exceeds the 1,200 or the 1,000 square foot requirement.
Correct. Just to chime in, go ahead.
The greenhouse is about 2,800 square feet.
So that's almost the size of a house. So that is that will definitely be non-conforming.
It would be a variance same as the 1,200, yes.
And do we have precedents in the town to have structures that large on residential properties?
Nothing proposed that big that I know of.
So this would be a very unique situation.
Well, it's an existing, yes. It's for farm use.
But if
the farm use goes away.
Yeah.
No, they could still farm. They just don't get the tax break.
Visually, the 2 lots together with the structures as they are now, of the size they are now, will appear unlike the other residential lots within the town. The word congested comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct, which doesn't exist if it's a 6-acre lot, then the congestion factor, so to speak, is avoided or minimized. We're having this conversation because the proposal is to cut it in half. So
what is the current zone? Is this R130 or is it a different zone?
It's R130, yeah.
Well, just to reiterate some of the points that were just made, this is a request for 2 single family residences. The property historically has been used as a farm, as the farming structures that are on the property. And acknowledge that the properties likely would not qualify for farmland assessment, but I think that's not part of this application. This is just a request for 2 single family residences. And as I mentioned at the outset, for a family farm to stay in a family and for, the family to have 2 residences next door to one another. The size of the lots, 3 acres, is conforming with the zone. The variance requests are limited to the frontage, which, as mentioned by Mr. Lohr, the frontage is really a function of drawing that line around the existing house. If the frontage were to conform, the lot line would essentially split right through that existing house. And as to the accessory structures, we are requesting the variance for the existing barn, which is 1,200 square feet, which does conform currently, but when the lot becomes 3 acres from 6 acres, the size of the allowable accessory structure is reduced, And that's why that variance is created and we are requesting that one. The greenhouse was not called out. It's my understanding that the greenhouse is not a permanent structure, but I believe I would need to confer with my client on that point, since it was not raised in the reports earlier, so I would need to confer with him.
If this were an existing 3-acre lot and the homeowner requested to put up a greenhouse, would they be permitted to put up a greenhouse of this size, and would it be deemed permanent or non-permanent?
I think the answer to that is no.
Well, I think Mr. Lord already also answered that when he said he doesn't show temporary or mobile structures. He only shows permanent structures. So
yeah.
The fact that we see the greenhouse tells me it's permanent.
It is.
Not a trailer.
It's not a tent either, so it's a definitely foundational structure on the ground.
While we're digging into some details, I have to ask this other question. You mentioned that when you draw that subdivision line straight back from the road, the 215-foot variance comes into play. Could you take that line and skew it to the west to minimize that variance? Perhaps if you move that line, whatever that equals, 40 feet to the left or 35 feet to the left, you have no variance as to the lot frontage, and the lot just comes right up against the driveway.
Well, the line would go through the driveway, and the offset to the house would be closer than the 40-foot minimum side setback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only that, that driveway really is like a hill. That driveway has to be at least 15 feet deep, if I recall. It's not flat.
Right.
Okay. Anything else before we turn it over to Matt McKinley? Matt, why don't you walk us through anything you want to focus on your report, and then we'll turn it over to McKinley for her follow-up.
Matt, before you do that, let me swear you in, because I'm sure you're not going to be answering or asking questions. You either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Go ahead.
They basically went to our report. We talked about the fencing had to be relocated. We talked about the demo bond for that the structure to be removed if they don't put up the house in a year or two, whatever time you guys pick. We did miss the size of that greenhouse. I don't know why I didn't think of it as a permanent structure, but it is a permanent structure. It's pretty good size. So that one we missed. And the county, I have seen county requiring utility easements instead of right-of-way. I think the whole road has a utility easement when they did the whole subdivision, I don't know how many years ago, 30 years ago. So I doubt they'll take more right away, but they might. And if they do, these guys may have to come back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think you're right, Matt. We've covered a lot of the topics that were in your report. McKinley, anything you want to add from your planning report?
Kinley, let me swear you in first. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
Well, I'll start by saying my first comment regarding the D variance. I think we took care of that. Assuming, again, if the board acts favorably, whatever conditions will go from the guidance of Mr. Seib. But I don't believe, based on previous discussion, that we'll have to pursue the D variance option. I'm going to loop back around to my C variance comment. There's just, I think, like Matt's, the rest of my comments were minor in nature, mostly addressed. I think there's a few copy and paste errors on the bulk chart and in some of the dimensioning. So if this were to be approved, we would just need kind of correct calculations for proposed lot and building an impervious coverage for proposed lot 30.01, which is that left-hand lot. Just, it looks like it was just copied from the existing percentages. If you happen to know those tonight, it'd be great to get that on record. But again, that would just need to be corrected. In terms of the C variance, I guess I would just ask the question if the frontage, I guess, which C variance you're justifying this under, the both for the frontage and for the accessory structures. Just like Matt, I missed the greenhouse. I was so concentrated on the barn, not really thinking the greenhouse is a permanent structure, but as the board has raised tonight, it absolutely is. So just some clarification on whether or not these variances would be justified under the C1 or the C2 criteria.
You're looking for guidance from Mr. Lord?
Yes, please.
Jared, would you like to?
I think that it's probably more fitting under the C2 flexible variance, that the benefits outweigh the detriments. I think that was set forth in Mr. Lord's testimony.
And to tell you the truth, I might need to get a refresher on what the benefits were. From the applicant.
Well, we are providing a... we're providing a use for the property as a residential lot. The it's in keeping with the zoning, the intent of the zoning ordinances. We're maintaining an existing structure, so we don't have to, impact the existing house. Would basically be it.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to understand what we were considering on that topic. McKinley, I interrupted you. Feel free to proceed.
No, thank you for adding on. I just wanted it clear which C the applicant was working to justify under. So I think in terms of the board's consideration from a planning perspective, it's really whether those existing structures both require variances in addition to the lot frontage. It sounds like there are some concerns amongst the board about all three of those conditions, but I guess the question is, because the barn and the greenhouse are existing and have been, they are continuing to be functional, they have not, the testimony was that they have not gone into disrepair, they have kept them up and they continue to use them and that they will continue to use them. So the board members will have to consider whether that we're not grandfathering them in exactly because we're requiring them to get the variance, which is triggered by the subdivision, but whether or not that would ease any concerns the board has, or if there's any other conditions that could be placed upon the applicant to further ease any concerns or issues about those structures. Of course, if they were new, it would be, in my mind, it would be quite different if the applicant was trying to propose these very, very large new structures. They are existing. So from a planning perspective, that's what I would focus on in deciding whether or not to act favorably.
And it's more a question for the applicant. Are the two structures, the greenhouse and the barn, in any way historic or have historic characteristics that might create some other type of value or benefit?
That I cannot answer that question. I know they've both been there for quite a while. I'm not a historian, so I couldn't necessarily say how old they are or what historical value they have, although they have been there for quite some time.
Both structures have been on the property for a long time. I know they have sentimental value to the family, as this is their family farm. I don't know if they've been classified as historical. I don't want to cut off here, but I have it appears there's a couple of, I'll call them fact questions, that I think I would benefit from speaking directly with my client, the applicant, to clarify a few points. When there is an, if there's an opportunity, I certainly would appreciate perhaps a couple of minute break, so I could give him a call and to clarify some of those questions. I've been jotting down a couple of notes here that I think need some clarification.
I mean, I'm fine with that. If we want to, if anyone has an objection, take a 5 minute break and, let's see where we are at, 8:35. Is that okay with everyone else? Anyone on the board have any concerns?
No.
Oh, I think it's needed.
Okay. All right. So, no, I'm with you. Well, I'd like to get some answers too, because I think Jared can sense where the board is falling without all of the data at its hands. And if you can gather that, great. If not, then you'll make the right decision.
Should we reconcile what maybe the open questions are before we adjourn, so he can go in and capture what he needs to get?
Agreed.
No, I love it. Jared, you want to tell it, if you don't mind, tell us where you want to go and we'll tell you if we need you to go a little further.
Sure. So here are some bullet points I have jotted down. We want to get a sense of, well, we just discussed, the current use of both the barn and the greenhouse, their approximate age, their intended use after the subdivision, the farming activity that takes place on the property. And we mentioned, I don't think that's necessarily part of this application, but relevant information, as you make your decision. Those are my key points. Anything else that I should include?
Well, while you're asking the farming question, you might as well ask what's going on today and what would be the expectation tomorrow post any approval.
Right.
Is it more so than that? Like, ability to substantiate the current farmland assessment tax status?
Well, that would go away if they divide it into 2-3.
No, I know, but we're not supposed to, if there's an obligation to the town, then this shouldn't even be being conducted.
You mean on back taxes?
It's similar to back taxes, yes. Any money's due and so forth. So if the property has been conducted under a status that's incorrect, that would make this whole event a non-starter. Okay. I suspect that that's not a problem, but simply asking that, you know, we're made comfortable that the property and the owner is in bounds in the current tax status.
Well, he's got 6 acres, but when he divides it, look.
No. Just... The point Gary's making is that they're under farmland assessment right now. And if it's not being ordinance correctly under farmland assessment, then they should not be under farmland assessment today. They should be under regular R130 zoning tax rates.
But doesn't it obvious that there looks like they're doing some farming on the property with the fencing and everything?
There still has to be a minimum income to be deemed farmland assessment.
That's an issue for the tax assessor to do on an annualized basis.
That's not for us to get involved. We're talking about what we're going to be doing
going forward. Yeah, going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. I think the issue is, you know, once you subdivide this and then you put a new structure on this, I'm not sure if there's enough land for them to do some additional farming to justify the barn and that greenhouse. You know what I mean? I'm not sure, you know, so.
Well, I think that's why we want to know, what are you doing today and versus what do you plan to do tomorrow? The issue of farmland assessment, I do agree that's something that should be a conversation if we're interested with our own tax assessor. The farmland assessment application was due just a few weeks ago. If they submitted it, I assume it'll be looked at in the normal course. So any info you can provide on those topics, Jared, I think you have a sense of what we're looking for now.
I do.
Mitch and Stacy, did you also want clarification on the size of the greenhouse?
Oh, yeah. We have an estimate of 2,800 by Matt. So if they can give us any, if for some reason Matt's, you know, way off, let's hear it. Matt will be the first one to say sorry.
Mm-hmm. Very, yeah, very
check
good.
It out.
Very good. Okay.
Okay. All right. So it's my clock says it's 8:32. So let's shoot for 8:38 and let's see where we land.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are adjourned for the moment. Thank you.
Hello. question.
Okay, are we all back and ready?
Yes.
Okay. Linda, you ready?
Ready to go.
Okay. Then Jared, I believe you have the floor. You were going to caucus with your clients. Did you have a chance to do that? And do you have any information to share with us?
I did. And just briefly before I get into that, I think I might have host abilities, and it looks like someone's trying to join, but I feel like this is not my, I don't want to step on anyone's shoes. I'm going to stop sharing and I think give the hosting back to Ms. Jacobs.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see anybody looking to join, but.
Yeah, I have a, well, I suppose I'll admit them. It looks like I have the ability to do so, but. Okay. Yeah, so I did have a chance to speak with my client, and so answer to the questions. The barn structure has been there since approximately 1975. Apparently it was built as a family endeavor, and that's why there's sentimental value. I don't think there's any official historic designation associated with the barn. My client is willing to remove the necessary square footage from the barn to make it compliant. I think that would mean it would be a 1,000 square foot, at a maximum, a 1,000 square foot barn. So he's willing to make that modification. As to the greenhouse, he said it's a 96 by 16 structure, making it 1,536 square feet. That's his calculation. He described it as not a permanent structure. There's no foundation to it. That being said, and he noted that it is actively used for farming, for agricultural purposes. There's agricultural purposes or agricultural activity conducted within the greenhouse and within the greater property itself. All that being said, he noted he would be willing to remove the greenhouse if that, obviously that would make this variance go away. Not his first choice, but he'd be willing to do so to remove this variance. So I think with those commitments, we would be left with just the request for the lot width and lot frontage variance, nothing associated with accessory structures. As I mentioned at the beginning, and I think it's worth reiterating this point, this is a family property that's been in their family for a long time. The applicant's looking to live next to his parents who live on the existing single family house. And a lot of these farm structures and this property have sentimental value. So they want to, retain what they can. As to farmland assessment, again, we discussed, I don't think it's really pertaining to this application, but the property is farmland assessed. The applicant is aware that it would not qualify for farmland assessment once subdivided, but I think that would be an issue addressed with the tax assessor.
Okay.
Did
you get any insight as to the anticipated farming activities if the board approves this?
Yeah, well, the greenhouse is used currently for farming activity. Of course, if the greenhouse is not there, it would be using that. I think they would continue to use part of the property for agricultural farming as they do now. Of course, they wouldn't be receiving the farmland assessment tax benefit, but I don't think that would stop them from the farming activity that takes place here. They have another farm in town and another farm, the farmers, they have a couple properties locally. So they're going to continue to farm. And I think they're going to continue to farm this property to the extent that they can. But the primary purpose of this application is to create two single family residences so that the family can live next door to one another.
Okay. And thank you for sharing that. Unless the Well, I just would like to just jump in based on that information. I do appreciate the applicant's willingness to minimize the size of the barn so that it's compliant and recognizing that it's not historic as it was built in 75. With regard to the greenhouse, a little bit more interesting from my personal perspective. I have never, somebody that drives that road all the time, I've never noticed it. And when I've taken a moment to stop and look, you can almost kind of see it between the heavy evergreen trees, which of course are green all seasons. So, my inclination would be, to take the applicant up on the opportunity to reduce the size of the 1975 barn, but I would ask the board to think with me that perhaps the greenhouse, as it does support some type of farming activity, whether it's personal to those folks that live there or otherwise, and the fact that it is so so hidden behind a sea of evergreens, that might be more worthy of a variance consideration. But that's just my quick thinking based upon the information you shared with us.
Would that be difficult for them to also reduce the greenhouse to a size, 1,000 square feet, so they don't have to get a variance?
I don't know if it would be easy or difficult. Jared didn't indicate that that was on the table. It sounded like they'd be willing to take it down if that's where we needed them to go.
Yeah, that was not something he and I discussed. I would just guessing that, I don't know if it'd be a modification to the greenhouse. It'd probably be a take one greenhouse out, put a new greenhouse in. But I'd have to check in with him to see if that's something he'd be willing to do. But yeah, just to reiterate what I had said, it was simply that it is currently used for farming activity. The way he explained it was that there are often used for be called starter plants. I'm not a farmer, so I'm trying to explain something I don't know. But yeah, you start the planting process in the greenhouse and eventually move it out to their other farms.
Seedlings.
Apparently, it's pretty efficient.
Yeah, this
seedlings. Probably sounds to be a pretty efficient use of space.
Considering trees are often sometimes a temporary event, I think the ability of the greenhouse to be within the proper sizing would be valuable in this whole process.
Right.
Yeah.
If I may, the applicant had just notified me, and I know I can't speak for the applicant, I'm not an attorney, that he would be reducing it to 1,000 square feet to conform, he would be willing to do it.
Okay.
With respect to the greenhouse, Mr. Lord?
Yes, with respect to the greenhouse.
Oh, okay. Wow, it's taking away issues left and right.
Okay, and I concur. So,
okay. Well, with those two building reductions on the table, the only variance remaining, McKinley, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is the frontage on the one of the two lots.
Right, and technically the way the ordinance is written, it breaks down to two variances, even though it's the same measurement and the same property line. So the minimum width/frontage, there are two different standards required to be 250 feet, where we have 215 feet on the right-hand lot, which the applicant has identified as proposed lot 30.02.
Wait, I just missed what you said. Why are there two variances?
It's the same standard, but the township identifies them as a requirement for width and a requirement for frontage.
Oh.
In this case, it's the exact same thing, but it's from a technical standpoint, it would be two instead of one.
Okay. So, I got you. So it's two variances created from the same situation. So the proofs offered would go to both variances.
Exactly. You wouldn't grant one of these without the other in this case.
Okay. Got it. All right. With that additional information offered on behalf of the applicant, any further questions or comments from any of the board members or our professionals?
I have a question. Going back to having that barn, and they have to build a structure within a certain time to maintain that barn. what does that mean? Like, what is the limitation? Is it a year? Is it, do we have that? Do we define the time? And does yet. That mean they have to start, say they start the project and they have foundation, can they still, even though they haven't finished the project, can they still maintain that barn? You know what I mean? Knowing that they started the project.
So Mike or Matt, I think we, or Jared, we'd be looking for some guidance so that we can have some parameters to begin evaluating our thoughts on that. Thank you, Rose. That's a good point.
Yeah, I think you have to set a start date and a completion date.
Okay.
I agree. Jared, do you have something you want to propose or how do you want us to proceed on this
topic? Yeah, and I'll certainly defer to guidance from the board, but just as I mentioned, my understanding is they intend to begin construction as soon as reasonably as possible. But of course, there's unanticipated events that could cause delays. I think a conservative approach for my client would be to request 24 months to complete the construction of the single family house. I know that they want to complete it sooner than that, but just to give them adequate time. He intends to be under construction by the spring. And I suppose, and again, I'll look for some guidance here from the board. Is applicants willing to modify the barn? Might want to ask if that condition could also be included in that 24-month time period, so it doesn't have to, modify the barn first and then go begin construction on the house, just from a practical standpoint. I'll look to guidance from the board.
So my suggestion, taking that into it and trying to structure it into something, would be perhaps the approval could be conditioned upon the applicant has to submit for a building permit and begin construction within 12 months and then is to have the home to the certificate of occupancy level after another 12 months. So giving you your 24 months gross, but setting up a 1 year timeline so that we can make sure that things are moving along as you suggest. I know you've thrown out the phrase as soon as possible and we all appreciate that, but as soon as possible could be in that 12 month time frame.
I think
there's still no explicit start date, though.
Well, you're right. So my theory is that the approval has an effective date, which Mike will have to, when we pass a resolution of approval, perhaps, or Mike will have to clue us into it. The 12 months starts from there. And then they would have within that 12 months to have secured a building permit and started construction. And I guess started construction would mean installation of at least the foundation. I'm shooting from the hip here.
The applicant would be willing to commit to that. I think that's a good plan.
And I think we should put some kind of also time frame on reducing the greenhouse to some kind of time frame, whatever it is.
Well, greenhouse and barn rows.
Yeah. Can we say simultaneously?
Sure.
Yeah, simultaneously, but
is the greenhouse going to be reduced or is it going to be removed?
Reduced.
It'll be reduced.
I was a little confused too. I thought they were being removed.
No, reduced was the final decision, which gets rid of the variance situation.
Okay. Yeah.
So the idea is that those two structures would be reduced. I would suggest prior to issuance of the CFO, which puts a little tough situation on the applicant. They've had their house built and Matt is watching them like a hawk to make sure that those are done because that's the way Matt rolls.
I'll get my cameras ready.
Oh, I agree.
Should we have a date for the full completion? I know you mentioned a year for at least a foundation, but what about
another year?
12 months.
All right. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that.
Right.
If I may, the start date, you said upon your resolution, but we still have to get the county to approve the subdivision. So perhaps from the date of the filing of the subdivision would be a start date, because we can't really do much of anything until we actually have a subdivision.
I thought we were going to give them a time of building permit, which means the subdivision's complete.
Yeah, but he can't file the subdivision until he has Monmouth County approval, and that could take some time. That's what they're saying.
I don't, if you say the date of your resolution, it may take us another 3 months to get the county approval, just with the way things go these days.
But it commences upon receipt of county approval.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably it. You should see if you can get the county approval first.
Well, I understand Mr. Lord's point. So it would be at the time that the final subdivision is perfected, which would be either by recording a plat. Yeah.
Okay. He has 6 months to file.
6 months to file.
And he can't get a building permit until the subdivision's filed, which creates the lot.
That's right.
That's my reasoning, is that.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's a point of logic that I missed. You're absolutely right. Mike, have we given you enough information to figure this out?
Well, the requirement is 190 days to file your deeds or your plat for a minor subdivision.
Right.
So he's got to file within 190 days. And then that gives him an extra 6 months to get his building permit.
Correct. But Mike,
construction department in between, in the meantime, they can have their plans prepared. They can have everything ready to submit. And I think the construction office only has a fairly limited time within which to approve or require differences, which is only like, Matt, I'll defer to you, but like between 20 and 45 days.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Yeah, it should be straightforward. Or maybe they could come back for a time extension if they wanted to, I guess.
That's possible too.
Yeah.
There've
been a lot of time extensions once COVID hit. A lot of people couldn't get things done once COVID hit.
Yes.
Came back in, asked it in a number of my boards for extensions because they couldn't get stuff through DEP.
Yes.
Bottom line is the start date's after all approvals, and end date is basically 2 years from start. How you want to divide it, 12-month intervals is fine. With the added piece of it saying at CO time, both the existing buildings are reduced to square footage to conform.
Yeah, I think you got it, Jeff.
Yeah, good.
And let's not forget about the fencing.
Oh, yeah.
They have to remove the fencing from their outside their properties.
Mm-hmm. And anything else that's encroaching as well.
Yeah.
Correct. Any and all encroachments.
I would think that would be done sooner rather than later because, you know, I mean, why wait for, you know.
So Rose, let's follow up on that. So then your suggestion is that the fence encroachments would be removed by the time of a building permit or start a foundation? No, I think Rose was suggesting it would be earlier in the process.
I mean, if they're subdivided, the fencing is no longer required. They have to remove it. So you might as well do it at the point of approval.
The fencing should come down right away because
that's what I believe. Yeah.
I mean, that shouldn't have been on there to begin with.
Yeah. Any and all encroachments should be removed immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just be a condition of approval before they.
I think that's where the board's leaning. Because I think those encroachments are encroaching onto municipal property.
Absolutely. Okay. Quite a bit.
All right. Mr. Pape, you've heard the board dance around some condition conversation. Is that acceptable if it's a condition of an approval?
I much appreciate the group effort here. I think we're arriving at a really good solution.
Okay. Actually, Rose gets a lot of the credit. She's on fire tonight. Thank you, Rose.
I think it must be the sized tea I'm drinking.
I don't know, but I'm appreciating the assistance. Thank you.
Go, Ms. Oxman.
All right. Anything else from any of the board members professionals or the applicant?
Mr. Chairman, we still need to open this up to the public, and I see one property owner who has been listening and watching.
Okay, I would like to thank you, Mike. Let's open it up to the public. If any member of the public would like to be heard to make a comment or ask a question, you're welcome to raise your hand or otherwise identify yourself to be recognized.
Yes. Hello, may I ask a question, please? My name is Karen Polanski. I live at 47 Hampton Hollow Drive. We're right next door to the applicant's property. The house that the applicant, additional home that the applicant is building, is that going to be closer to Hampton Hollow Drive, or is it going to be on the other side of the property, of the other side of where the house is now?
Mr. Pape, you want to answer?
Yeah. Mr. Lord, I may defer to
you. It will be closer to the Hampton Hollow Drive entrance.
Okay. Oh, and the easement. How much did you say that the easement was? Because the easement will still, the utility easement will still be in effect, will it not?
Yes, that's correct. That's regardless of the subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how much is the easement on the property there right now?
It's a 10-foot utility easement.
Well, Karen, there's the 10-foot that runs along Prineville Road, but I'm mm-hmm. guessing you're talking about the easement that runs through your backyard.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't think that's impacted or changed or affected by this application.
Okay.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with this.
And that's what JCP&L is from, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for participating. Any other members of the public would like to be heard or had any questions this evening? Seeing none, Linda, do you see anybody?
I do not.
Okay, then we'll close the public comment portion of the hearing tonight. Anything further that we need to do procedurally, Mike, before we open it back up to the board or our professionals for anything further before entertaining a motion?
I do not think so. Okay. Unless Mr. Pape wants to make some kind of a closing argument at this point. But other than that, no.
My only closing statements were just to thank the board for, as I mentioned, the group discussion is to, you know, find the appropriate conditions here. I think the conditions that we discussed relating to the construction of the single family house are certainly fair and certainly ones that my client would be willing to accept. Glad we're able to, you know, work with you and reduce the variances to the accessory structures. To limit the variances to the lot width and lot frontage. And with that, we would ask the board to vote favorably on this application.
Okay, thank you. Unless there's any other comments or questions from the board or our professionals, I would suggest that it would be appropriate for a board member to consider a motion. And if it's a motion in the affirmative, it would include the conditions we've talked about. And Mike, perhaps you can summarize those for us so that the motion can be spot on.
The ones that I have notes of are that the fence encroachments on the open space are to be relocated, that the septic is to be located on the plans, that any structures overlapping the property lines are to be removed or relocated. The applicant's going to obtain a letter of interpretation from the NJDEP, that the barn and greenhouse structures are to be reduced to the 1,000 square foot permitted amount, and that reduction, well, let me go back and go further, that there will be a bond posted for the barn, that it will be, if not building permit to begin construction with 12 months, CO within 12 months, both greenhouse and barn to be reduced in size within that
by the before a CO is issued within that 12-month period. That's the second 12-month period.
Correct. But Matt, you have a clarification?
The LOI that you talked about, can you put down if required? Because there's no wetlands anywhere here. I'm not sure we need that.
Well, LOI or letter of no interest?
You don't need it. There's no wetlands.
Well, then I would at least require Mr. Lord to confirm to your satisfaction, Matt, that there is no wetlands.
We looked at the wetland maps from the county estate. There's nothing nearby. But if we see something, we'll have them. That's why I said if required. We'll look at it to see if it's required.
Okay. So Mike, let's say if required, and Matt will make the final determination based upon any additional information from the applicant.
I don't think there's anything there.
Confirmation, no wetlands per board engineer.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that captures it, Mike. And obviously when if we're at a point of writing up the resolution, we'll all take another look at it. All right. So I think those are the conditions. And Matt, you will determine the amount of the bond that Mike spoke about regarding the barn.
Yeah. The demo bond, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I will come up with the number.
Okay, thank you. So those are the conditions. Would anyone like to make a motion regarding this application? That motion would, of course, also include the frontage and width variance that McKinley mentioned.
I'll move it.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, thank you, everyone. Any further comment or discussion before we vote on this motion?
I just wanted to clarify that, Mike, you mentioned removing the encroaching structures as well as the fencing, but you didn't give it a time limit.
They're all to be removed as a condition of approval. So before we'll sign off on the subdivision plat or deeds, that has okay. to have to be removed.
Okay.
Basically CO time, right?
No, we'll it's be
way before that.
Before filing the plan.
Even better.
190 right. days.
Yep. Yeah. So Matt, when you and Linda call me to come in and sign that plat, I'll remember to ask you, did the fence and the structures get moved?
Of course.
What do you mean? Of course. Like I won't remember.
We'll show you the permits for that.
I'll meet you in the field. What do you mean?
I'm not going there. Okay.
All right. Matt and I have a personal problem, but we'll deal with that later. Okay, so we have a motion, we have a second, and we have a clarification on that. Unless there's any further comment or silliness from me, Linda, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Dorfman?
You're muted, Gary.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Grabelia?
Yes.
Ms. Curtis?
Yes.
Chairman Newman?
Yes, just one comment. I do appreciate the applicant being flexible and working with us, and certainly recognize that the family has been a longtime resident of the town and are happy to see that they're willing to commit to building a house and staying in town. So thank you. I'm a yes.
Ms. Oxley?
Yes.
Mr. Ziner?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. Congratulations.
And, thank you all very much again. Appreciate all the input from all the board members. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Linda, next on our agenda, I don't see anything else for old business or new business. Is there something?